Hello everyone, my name is Justin Kim and you're on Inverse. I want to say hello to each one of you who are listening on the podcasts or are watching through social media videos. We want to say thank you for your support all through the years and through the past, and we want to ask that you continue to support us with your comments and through your suggestions and your shout outs to each one of us. We appreciate when you call each one of us out and say hello. We appreciate Jonathan's, you know, nose and Callie's ears and Siku's scarves. So whatever you may appreciate, Don. We are talking about the three cosmic messages. Three cosmic messages. If you've been following along with us, we are in Revelation 14, looking at the three angels' messages. If you haven't been following us, you can go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guides there and look at under three cosmic messages. You can also get the app. If you search for Sabbath School on your Apple and your Android platforms, and you'll see the blue iconed app there created by Adventech. We are in episode 10, and I want to acknowledge Callie, Jonathan, and Siku here. I want to thank you for coming into the studio.
And we acknowledge you.
And, thank you for acknowledging me and my nose and my scarfless neck. And we're going to go to Revelation 16. Man, I'm feeling kind of quirky today. Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. But before, as we always do on the show, before we read scripture, we want to pray for the Lord's blessing. So Siku, can you pray for us?
Yes, let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you would guide our thinking now. We ask that you would lead us into all truth, and that as we study your word, you would fortify us against any deceptions that the devil might try to bring, which ultimately draw us away from a true picture of who you are. And so we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We are in Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. And Callie.
Hey.
Can you read that for us?
I sure can.
Cool.
Verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty."
Okay, and then go to chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, and we'll read that later again in a different episode, but it's just good. Verse 2 and 3, Kelly. Okay.
"And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury."
Yeah, Jonathan, so we've covered a lot in the three angels' messages. I think we covered the first and second. We've gone through the meta-narrative, and we haven't gotten to the third angel's message yet, and we will in next episodes. But what did we cover about the second angel's message and about Babylon? Can you just kind of bring us up to date and sync everyone on the same page?
Yeah. So Babylon is introduced to us in the book of Revelation as this entity that is a religious entity that has deviated from the truth. It has mixed truth with error, or just plain error, and is together with the worldly power, governments, nations, has an enormous influence around the world to really to lead people astray. And this system is very active in the last days in the context of the three angels' messages. Babylon, of course, is, you know, it's a symbolic way of saying this is a system of confusion, and it is really the one of the main entities that the devil works through in his last days to bring people, to take people away from God. But it's, of course, based in the, you know, the narrative of the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel, where there was confusion, there was rebellion against God, and then, of course, the Babylonian Empire, where you had also the mixture of religion and state government mandating, you know, laws of worship. So all these kind of principles are found in this end-time entity that the book of Revelation describes to us. And God is pretty strong in his language towards that entity, because This entity is doing this in the name of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so God is saying, well, there will be judgment, and Babylon is fallen in multiple ways, if you want to look at it that way.
And he's telling his people who are under the name of Christ, hey, watch out for this, because
yes,
it's coming down the pipeline.
Yep.
I guess if I can just reframe the discussion, like if you were, maybe this is not an if, good if, but if you were the arch enemy of God, if you were Satan, Lucifer, if you were the devil, and you were like, man, I'm going to got to go against him, and then of all the deceptions you would choose, wouldn't it be like, oh, God is bad, and or like humans kill each other, or like, you know, make immorality moral and morality immorality. Like you think of, maybe not you, maybe me. I would think of like these like crazy things to try to convince the world of, you know. Mm. But we find that there are two specific attacks that Satan makes, and it's kind of you gotta ask yourself like why these two of all the things to be confused on, and then to see where it is in society. You know, mm-hmm. I guess is kind of the angle that just to look at it from a different angle. Any comments on that, Kelly?
Well, going back
sparkling,
to...
You have sparkling eyes, meaning you have something to say.
I think it was back in the first episode, maybe, where we talked about that there was a war in heaven.
Yes.
And that what started all that was that the devil is a deceiver. Mm-hmm. He deceives the whole world. And so the foundation of the war, the whole issue is sin, yes, but it's like sin also comes from lies. Mm-hmm. And the deceptions, while you're asking that question, I haven't really thought about it before, so that's a very good question. Mm. So good on you for that. Mm. And so when I was thinking, though,
does that make you?
Yeah, it does make me think about it. But I've been thinking about the two deceptions that we're going to get into, and both of them are very good avenues to introduce a lot more lies and more deceptions. Mm-hmm. So they're just, it's not a lie that's like, believe this one and full stop. They're very good funnels, if you will, for more and more bases of more deception, and to just have an entire worldview.
It's a gateway.
Yeah, a good gateway. That's a good word.
So it's not the actual deception itself, but what comes along with that, that is dangerous.
Exactly. Okay. It's like a very good paradigm shifting lie.
Yes. Siku's giving the hmm.
Yeah.
So what are those two? I mean, there's many. And the reality there is many, but there's two main thrusts, especially in the last days that are mentioned. Let's go to 16, verse 13 and 14. Let me read it a little bit slower. Revelation 16, 13, it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the prophet. They are spirits of demons performing signs, and they go to the whole world there. Why frogs? And my understanding is that in these are all images that are taken from the Old Testament, and we see that frogs are found in the 10 plagues, and this was the last plague that the magicians could reproduce and copy and mimic. Mm. And in a sense, this is, in the same sense, I should say, this is Satan's last deception before his eventual demise. Mm-hmm. And he's going to reproduce something similar to the real thing and not the actual thing. And I think that's where the deception is. Mm-hmm. If he were to say, oh, this is what is good is actually bad and what's bad is actually good, there is some sense in humanity where we're like, well, not
it's like
really.
Too stark of a
that's
contrast.
Too stark, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Satan in his deception is like, he doesn't need to have it to be from 100 to 0. He just needs to go to 100 to a 99, and that 99 still is a mm-hmm. deceptive form than the 100, which in a sense that's much more dangerous, much more, it's, I don't know why we always give him credit there, but he's, hey, that's a smart tactic, but we have a Lord who is much more victorious than that. Mm-hmm. What are these two main thrusts that go to the whole world and deceiving like frogs?
So one of them is the idea that the soul is immortal, so that we are, you know, we have this floaty thing inside of us that floats separately from our bodies. it's connected also to other erroneous teachings, so like, you know, eternally burning hell and God tortures you forever, things like that. And so kind of going along with, is it okay if I go along with my thought?
Yeah, earlier? Do your thing, yeah.
So going along with my thought earlier about how that opens up more deceptions is, so that's not a thing, immortality of the soul, not true. But if the devil can convince you of that, then he can impersonate somebody that you love that has passed away as a demon, right? and can come back and talk to you and tell you more things, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, it's say somebody that you loved, an ancestor of yours, your grandmother, right? And come and appear to you and tell you things. It's like, wow, so this person who I love, that I believe, like, it's just an avenue, again, to introduce more things mm-hmm. into your life. Mm-hmm. So that's one of them.
Though. In a sense, it's given another source of authority in the individual's
yeah, because you're like, but my grandmother knows me.
God, but then you also have all these like lovely dead people.
Yeah.
That in a sense, because they've been in the afterlife, or yeah. whether it's in a Christian sense or in a non-Christian sense, mm-hmm. that you start listening to them, or
because honor your father and your mother, you know, honor your ancestors.
It comes down to who do you trust, and the people you trust, you believe them, and so who better to trust than a beloved person that has mm-hmm. passed away and now is appearing to you in some form, mm-hmm. Spiritualism. And this is something that has been around forever, but seems to be going to be more intensified in the last days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this doctrine, this understanding, or this belief that we have an immortal soul really is strong in most of Christianity, mm-hmm. But even beyond. This idea that there's an internal part of us that continues on. It comes. This lie of Satan is the indirect violation of what God is saying. That if you sin, the wages of sin is death. It's over.
Not coming back later.
Right. And so he's basically saying, hey, you know, sin is not that bad. You're going to be mm-hmm. fine. You're going to be like God. You know, all these things from the Garden of Eden that we see there in principle, but then it's in his last days, he's going to utilize this to deceive very many people. And I think it's interesting when you look at culture. And pop culture, even this, the idea of the eternal soul or some kind of existence beyond death, or similar ideas are floating around in a lot of things now, like whether it's yeah. the music or movie industry, books, and then just in general spiritualism, mm-hmm. yeah. Occultism, you know, connecting with supernatural.
Well, let's
things.
Get into all yeah. those things, and we can have some fun and identify these things of culture and
sure.
saying how holier we are than. I'm not saying we're saying that, no. but I know we're saying this in passing.
Yeah.
We're not really getting into the scripture on that, but we do have a whole quarter on state of the dead. Mm-hmm. You can go to hopetv.org/inverse and you can look at state of the dead, and there's just a whole of every. Problematic text or whatnot, and we get into all that. So we're not pontificating off of our opinion here.
Yeah, yeah.
But as Jonathan, you're saying, it is pervasive in culture. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that, but also sure. our interaction while living in this culture. How mm-hmm. do we navigate through some of those skills? Mm-hmm. Kelly and then Siku, and you don't have to answer my question because you
great appreciate that
because you don't really don't anyway.
We have that understanding.
No, I got it.
Well, one thing too, I think about even in talking about the end times a bit,
yeah.
is I'm thinking how even people who don't know the end times are coming in the way that, you know, we've talking about here, is the world is getting worse. People pay attention to that and how much they will long for comfort and advice
yeah.
and counsel.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. What we've been talking about in the movies and the shows, like, man, I just really wish I could talk to that person one last time.
Yeah.
And then they appear.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool if it happened in real life?
Yeah. So like when Simba looks out to the sky,
I mean, it does
like,
happen.
Oh man, I just wish my dad were here. And then Mufasa pops out of nowhere, like, exactly. well, I'm here, yeah. my son, and you just have to follow your heart. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And then and it solves the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so but even in a real sense, I have had conversations with people like this where I was giving them Bible studies.
Good. I think we just gotta have conversations with people from the dead.
No, not that.
Okay.
I've had conversations with people who've had sadly had conversations with people with the dead.
From the afterlife. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was giving Bible studies with someone and she had lost her dad recently.
Okay.
And she was talking about how lost she was with trying to figure out some things in her life, and she was really distraught. And so I was, you know, we hadn't studied State of the Dead yet. It was very early on and just, you know, praying with her. But the next week I saw her and she was really happy. And I was like, oh, like, how are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm doing a lot better. Had a good conversation with my dad. And I was like, maybe I misheard you. What?
Conversation with her dad.
Yeah, and I was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, well, and she just kind of talked about how he came back to her, and he just really comforted her and let her know that he was doing okay mm-hmm. and gave her some advice on the situation. And I was like, all right. So it's like, that's a real, it's like, how am I supposed to be like, well, that's not your dad. So all that comfort you're feeling, that's not real. Like, that's like, like that's
from difficult. The devil.
Yeah. That's difficult.
How do you say that, yeah.
But
so there's an assumption that when you encounter the voices from the dead, you automatically assume that they're in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're in a good place. Mm-hmm. And then also, that's a disbelief, deception too, that there is an eternal burning hell. Mm-hmm. No one thinks that their dad or their whoever it may be is in hell and in communicating from there, right?
Yeah.
But it's the comfort that we're seeking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key. We don't want to downplay their need for comfort
100%.
Because we all have people that we've lost.
Yeah.
But where is the biblical source of comfort? And if I can just kind of interject here and then provide one, there is First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 is talking about specifically about comfort. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring them with him, those who are asleep in Jesus. Mm-hmm. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. All the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. In verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I just wanted to bring that back to, with these words.
these ones.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thought you just had, Justin, when you were saying that, no, I'm trying to remember what you said, but anyways.
That was great.
Yeah, Simba, great thought.
Simba Mufasa.
No, it was after that. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is this. One of the things that, if you experience something like this, I mean, it's not that this is happens to a lot of people right now, but it will more and more in the end times.
Oh, the comfort factor.
So you have the comfort factor, like, oh, he's in heaven, you know. That's what you were saying, that, no one assumes that they're in hell or, somewhere else. But one of the reasons Satan, he has many reasons, but one of the reasons he does this stuff is because that way he can make you think, you're okay. You're going to be fine. If so-and-so is in heaven, then you don't have to worry. You don't really have to worry about all the stuff that the Bible says. Or, Satan is not even trying to get people necessarily out of the church. We see that Babylon has fallen. These are people who are in the church. But he just wants you to feel comfortable right here, right now, without having to, deal with anything in your life, without having to surrender to, that thing that you're holding on to. Sin is not really that big of a deal. Kind of what he did with Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and if you have someone who's up there, that like, oh yeah, my dad is up there or my grandma and, she was a good person, I'm a good person, it makes you lax.
Self-sufficient.
And it's really a horrible way to manipulate people. Mm-hmm. It's great manipulation, and that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to Jesus that we don't get manipulated. He wants to save us, and that's why he gave us this.
That laxity is totally there for those who believe that. That belief is kind of a hope in general, and maybe they mix it with what they call it, faith. Mm-hmm. But there's also the flip side of those people who think their beloveds are eternally burning.
Yes.
And so they get into, how could a good and just God cause eternal damnation for someone who's lived, let's say, at the longest, 98 years, and they were a really bad person for 98 years. Now, why would God allow them to burn for eternity?
Right.
That's also another source of why would you do that? There's there's an incongruent with his justice and the grace of God there. So it's funny that we often judge people's salvation at their funeral, right? We see them, and this person was generally good. Oh, they're in heaven. For sure, they're in heaven. I am judge. This person was a very bad person. They better be burning in hell right now. Mm-hmm. We may feel guilty of saying it, but we make that judgment call, and that's not for us to make. No. That's really in the Lord's hands.
Plus, they are not in hell or in heaven.
That's right.
The deceptions of the devil are especially deceptive because he speaks to a part of who we are that is looking for an answer.
Yes.
Right? So whether it's at a personal level of, I want to live however I live and not have to be accountable for it. It's interesting how this one deception hits so many parts of our existential, experience.
Yes.
Just in this one thing, in our relationships, our personal accountability. I mean, it's so broad, and that's what makes it extra deceptive. Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask, and I get that there's the emotional thing, but there is also an intent entertainment factor. that whatever we watch out there, and we've talked about cultural expressions in the movies and music and whatnot, from Star Wars of like, you know, ascending to the next level of the blue. Oh, you don't want to talk about it.
No.
But anyway, there's all the, from the zombies to, like, there's, if you sit down and parse out the worldview in each of, from Marvel superhero to sci-fi, even to, you know, the romantic, and then the boyfriend comes back or the girlfriend comes back or whatever. Like, all these things, it's part of entertainment. It's not, like, evil and like, immoral. Some of them is immoral, but not, I mean, it's not, like, you know, super wicked stuff. And we're in that, right? Mm-hmm. So give us navigation skills, right? Do we just avoid that 100%? Do we just say, that doesn't matter, that's entertainment, so we just plunge in there? Or do we like, I don't know, because that's too hard of a question, so I'm just gonna stay silent until Siku says something.
I have something to say that actually, like, it's connected to what you were saying, but it's from a previous part of the conversation when Callie was talking about studying with her friend.
Okay.
Right? We've had this conversation quite a bit in my family with a lot of family members passing away before any external evidence of surrendering their lives to Christ, and what do you do with that? You know, it's that struggle. Mm. And one of the things that became apparent to me as we've had these conversations is the knowledge of what truths are in the Bible are for people now. You know, in trying to navigate the crisis when it comes, I've found that a lot of my family don't have the tools because they didn't know beforehand. And in that moment, that might not be the moment to be like, well, actually, you were talking with a demon, you know?
Like, like, all right. Yeah. Well.
Thank you for that. So I think sometimes we may feel like all these truths, you know, kind of like, what's the point? Like, we should just preach Jesus. And we miss the fact that all of this is about Jesus, you know? Because if they had that knowledge ahead of time, then when the situation comes, it's a different conversation, you know? And that one experience, with the supernatural, that it lays a foundation for the potential of another experience, another supernatural experience, and all of it leads you further and further away from Scripture. So I guess pre to our engagement with you know, media and what we see on the screen and what we hear in popular culture, when we have a knowledge of what truth is, it behooves us to share it with people because it is a matter of life and death, you know?
So your question was about how much nonsense should we consume?
Yeah.
Okay, just make sure I got that. Okay.
Yeah, how do we?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, to be honest, it's going to be a very, very, very wide spectrum based on who's watching this right now. But I'll share my personal opinion. So for me, I think a large part of it comes down to the age of the person watching it or consuming it, because there is a difference in, like, when I was 7 versus now I'm 29, right? So, like, there's so much I can understand that, like, this isn't real, this is real. I can critically think and partition things in my brain. And there are other things that are not real that I'm like, they affect me, and I'm like, I can feel this affecting my worldview. I can feel this affecting me in a way. So, for example, like, I cannot, for the life of me, watch, like, Hallmark movies. That romantic stuff is nonsense, and it makes me, like,
it impacts you.
Oh man, it impacts me.
It makes
me angry.
Your worldview.
Yeah, it makes me.
I did not expect you to say Hallmark movies.
Hallmark movies.
And then, yeah, like, I know, David, right? You're like, David, you're not.
Yeah, no, seriously, it makes me, like, mad at David that he's not perfect. It's ridiculous, and I'm like, this is dumb.
So what spiritualism is in Hallmark? angels?
No.
Like, boyfriends come back.
I'm talking about, like, well, the unrealistic expectations from relationships.
Oh,
that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm just talking about, like, nonsense in general.
Okay.
That's all I'm zooming out a little
general
bit.
Nonsense.
So, and general nonsense.
Okay.
Consuming it. So my point is, like, for me, like, other people are like, but I know this is dumb. Like, I'm just trying to relax. So we all have different things like that.
Yeah.
Versus I can watch something that has maybe somebody who is speaking to somebody in heaven, and I'm like,
that's not real.
Well, I think to maybe it can extrapolate some principles out of your and apply it to is that we do know if there are things that we know that are not good for us, that we have to have the spiritual maturity to say, look, this may be good, and this is, you know, PG-13, this may be good with society, but this may not be good for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you create demarcation lines for yourself.
Yeah.
I think also for me, as another principle I can add to another log to the fire, is, and it's stupid, but I think, you know, with a constant bombardment of deception, it's easy to get desensitized, just naturally absorbing on a subconscious level. Mm-hmm. So without me seeking it, if should I see like a zombie or like, you know, or the wife is coming back to death, I was just like, no, I actually say it out loud. That's not true. That's not true.
I do that too.
And I just keep on watching. I mean, I'm not going to be like, I boycott this movie and you can't, in our entertainment saturated world, these are just basic survival skills, not to seek it out, but should you be in that context? We're like, no, that's not true. That could be the demon.
That's
the prettiest demon I've seen, but
I do that too.
I mean, these are just natural individual survival skills in the world of visual entertainment.
I think we have to also, because it's really hard to go through this world without being confronted with these things in media and all around us.
Mm-hmm.
But that just because you're confronted with something doesn't mean that you're suddenly possessed. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's this idea out there that if you just see it, you're in the realm of Satan right now.
Yes.
Where do we not believe in a God who is strong and powerful and who is with us? If we're walking with Jesus, He will give us the insight and the discernment. That doesn't mean we have to seek out, you know, the magical ground, so to say, but the nonsense. But we can know that we don't have to be afraid, even to be confronted with the demon. If we have a Jesus, the demons flee from Jesus.
Yes.
And so, for those who might be, you know, afraid of, if I see this, am I not possessed? Am I under the influence of Satan? Jesus is by your side. If you're walking with Christ, He's by your side.
Yes.
And He will give you the direction.
And I think that is key, because that will often determine what avenues of entertainment we choose to begin with and in that relationship. With only a minute left on the clock, we did mention there were going to be two deceptions, and we don't have time, but we did have spent two other episodes in this arc talking about this. But another great deception that we find in the last days is Sunday worship as opposed to Saturday worship, the changing of the Sabbath. And we see in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, we don't have to go there, but there is an element of sun worship involved. And these are not, just because you go to church on Sunday is not what we're talking about, but there is this deception that's out there, and that the scripture points to another truth that goes against that. We want, we are praying for sobriety, and I dare say that the four of us, we are not the clearinghouse, and we are not free from all the entanglements of deception, but with scripture, the Bible gives us some clarity and some sight in through this entertainment tangled world that we're in. So that's our prayer, to give us navigation skills, O Lord, and help us not to be deceived by the demons and the devil. And hopefully that's your prayer out there. We are continuing our study in the three angels' messages, the last day messages before Jesus comes again. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.